Please be seated. And how church said, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Todd, for those songs this morning. We are just inviting, and if you're with us this morning visiting, we are inviting you to have lunch with us. And we're going to have that great fellowship dinner down at the fellowship hall. And if you're visiting, lunch will be provided. And we are delighted that you are here. You are a very special and honored guest. And we also want you to know that the Tuttle Church of Christ is a place of faith, family, and friends. Amen? You know, in our songbook, Song 406, there is that very familiar and old song that is entitled, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. The first verse of that song says, I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. We sing that song about getting close to Jesus, getting closer to God. But you know, the Bible teaches us in a number of passages, especially when you go to the Psalms, that God is near us. God is close to us. He's not distant. He's not far away. He's not far removed. He's close to us. The psalmist said in Psalms 34 and verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. He is near. Psalm 145 and verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. And then Psalm 63 and verse 8, my soul follows close behind you, and your right hand upholds me. These are just a few of the passages that remind us that God is near, that God is close to us. I want us to think this morning about the blessings. We always enjoy being reminded of the blessings, and the blessings are many. The blessings of a closer walk with God. As we get close to God and as we get closer to God, what are the blessings that He bestows upon us because of that closer walk with God? One of the blessings that we need to be reminded of is that God, as we walk close to God, God comforts us in all of our afflictions. If you have your Bible this morning open to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll begin with verse 3. As we walk close to God, He comforts us. He comforts us in all of our afflictions. Notice, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Notice, who comforts us in all of our tribulation or in all of our affliction, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Notice what that passage says, that God comforts us. You know, we appreciate the comfort that we receive from our brothers and sisters in Christ as they come and they weep with us. You know, you weep with those who weep, and we appreciate the comfort that they extend. But even more than that, there is a comfort that God provides. And notice it says that he comforts us in all of our tribulation, in all of our affliction. But as you read that passage through, notice we are not to receive that comfort from God selfishly. Because it says he comforts us in all of our affliction, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have been comforted by God. In other words, God comforts us in all of our affliction as we walk near to him, as we walk close to him. He comforts us in all of our affliction that we might be able to comfort others who are in any trouble. Well, what comfort are we going to pass on? The very same comfort from God with which we ourselves have been comforted. That is a blessing. As we're walking close to God and as we are near to God, he comforts us in all of our affliction. And then we're able to pass it on. We're able to pass on that comfort to others who are, it says, in any trouble. That's a blessing of walking close to God. But there is another blessing of walking close to God and getting closer to God, and that is he will not forsake us. You can mark it down. It's true. It is stated very clear in God's word. God makes the promise. He says, I will never forsake you. David says something very interesting in Psalm 27 and verse 10. He says, my father and my mother have forsaken me. Now think about that relationship. It says, my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take care of me. You know, when you began to talk about mother and father, you're talking about a close relationship. I mean, you're talking about a family relationship. And there are relationships here that we enjoy on this earth that cannot get any closer than a family kind of relationship. But notice what he says. He says, my father and my mother have forsaken me. Even those who are in that closest kind of relationship, who we thought we could rely upon and that we could depend upon, and they were faithful and they were trustworthy, they can turn their back on us, they can reject us, and they can walk out and they can walk away and they can say, I am done with you. But he says, God, even though my mother and my father forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. The Lord will be there, standing by me. He will never reject me. He will never forsake me. He will never walk out on me. Oh, there's another psalm in Psalm 37 and verse 28 says, the Lord loves justice and he does not forsake his saints. The Lord loves justice. You know what justice is? Justice is whatever is just, whatever is right. And that's what God always does. God always does those things that are just and those things that are right. And it says in that passage, God loves justice and he will not. He does not forsake his saints. Since God always does what is right, God always does what is just, he will never forsake his people. He will never forsake his saints. That is a benefit. That is a blessing of walking close to God. But there's another blessing that comes to us, and that God provides and God protects. If you have your Bible, turn over to that well-known psalm in Psalm 23, the Shepherd's Psalm. I mean, if people know a passage in the Bible Nine times out of ten, they're going to say Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm. But I want you to see how the shepherd provides and protects the sheep. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's providing. He leads me beside the still waters. He is providing. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What is he providing? He is providing comfort. Now notice the protection. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you see the picture of the shepherd and the sheep? Oh, David was so familiar with that. He was so familiar with that. And he says, I have a shepherd. I have a shepherd. I have the great shepherd. And what does that great shepherd do? That great shepherd is providing and protecting the sheep. And you can just see those sheep as they stay close to the shepherd. Because that's where the safety is. That's where the protection is. That's where the provision is. As we, like those sheep, we got to stay close to the shepherd. And in that closer walk with God, in that closer walk with the shepherd, there is provision, there is protection that he provides. I want you to think about another blessing of walking closer to God, and that is, we have all, and I want you to think of the word all. We have all of God's blessings. As we walk close and we get closer to God, there is not one blessing that God provides that is available through God that we do not enjoy. Now think about those blessings when we began to talk about blessings. We know those blessings fall into two categories. There's the physical blessings. Every one of us this morning enjoy the physical blessings of God. Those things that are necessary to our livelihood. You know, we think of food, shelter, and clothing, and then we realize when it comes to physical blessings, we have been blessed far above and beyond just the necessities of life. We have been blessed far above and beyond what we just need in those physical blessings. Thank God. Praise God for those physical blessings. But you know, we begin to look around and we see other people that maybe they're not acknowledging God. They're not obeying God. Maybe they don't even believe in God. And we see their life is full of also of physical blessings. That they have what they need for their food, their food, their shelter, their clothing, and that they are blessed far beyond the necessities of life. And then we remind ourselves that God does not discriminate in his physical blessings. He said that. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 5. He says, God causes the sun to rise on the good and the evil. He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. God does not discriminate in his physical blessings. But there are blessings that are reserved only for those who are walking close to God. There are blessings that belong only to the person who is a child of God. I want you to notice Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, if you would, in your Bible. Because the Apostle Paul mentions these blessings that belong only to the child of God. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Now notice who he's writing to. To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Where do those spiritual blessings come from? They come from heaven. Where are those spiritual blessings found? Notice, in Christ. Those spiritual blessings belong only to those who are saints, only to those who are faithful, only to those who are in Christ. Those who are outside of Christ cannot claim any spiritual blessings. And they may have many physical blessings. And maybe even they interpret that as, well, I'm in favor with God because I'm experiencing all of these physical blessings. But God does not discriminate in his physical blessings. It's the spiritual blessings. Even more significant. Even more important. Those spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. Those spiritual blessings, salvation, eternal life, forgiveness of sins, that hope that when we are through with this life, there is that crown of righteousness which the Lord himself shall give us in that day. We enjoy, as we walk closer to God, we enjoy all of God's blessings, those physical blessings, but more important and more significantly, those spiritual blessings that we find in Christ Jesus. There's another blessing of walking close to God, and that is we have a high priest. We have a high priest who understands us. Have you ever gotten into a conversation with somebody and you decide, well, I'm just going to open up. I'm just going to open up with this brother. I'm just going to open up with this sister. And you begin to try to relate your feelings as to how you feel and what's going on in your life. And the reality in which you live, and there's some point in this conversation that you're realizing this person just doesn't get it. This person is not understanding a thing that I'm saying. This person is not connecting with any of those feelings, and they're not connecting with any of the expressions of reality in my life. And that is because they've never walked in my shoes. And if you've had that kind of discussion and you get that kind of response, it's because they never stood in your shoes. But you know, when we come to Jesus, Jesus completely understands because he has stood in our shoes. He completely understands because he has walked where we walk. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He has walked in our shoes. He has walked where we have walked to the point that he sympathizes with our weaknesses. He knows that. And it says he was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. He knows the fires of temptation. We can never come to Jesus and say, Jesus, you just don't understand the weakness. You don't understand the reality. You don't understand the fires of temptation. He does. Because he has walked where we walk. He has experienced what we experience. And then the very next verse says, let us therefore. Whenever you find a therefore, you've got to ask yourself the question, what is it therefore? He says, therefore, since we have a high priest that can sympathize with our weaknesses, since we have a high priest who has been tempted in all points like as we are, he says, we come boldly. We come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may find grace and mercy to help us in the time of need. When we come to the throne of grace and we come boldly and we begin to express our feelings and the fires of temptation and our weaknesses and the reality that is in our life, Jesus says, I understand. And here is grace. Here is mercy to help you in the time of need. What's the blessing? As we walk close to God, we have a high priest who understands. And then there's another blessing that comes to us, and that is we have a heavenly inheritance. We have a heavenly inheritance. You know, many receive an earthly inheritance. Maybe someone will even say, tongue in cheek, you know, I'm just waiting for that long lost uncle of mine to die and send me my inheritance. Well, that may be a long wait on that long lost uncle. I don't know. But let's not spend a lot of time thinking about an earthly inheritance when we have something more important as Christians. And that is a heavenly inheritance. As we walk closer to God, we can talk about what the Father is going to give us. We can talk about what the Father has laid by for us. We can talk about the Father, what the Father has reserved for us. And so he says there that we have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, does not fade away. It is reserved in heaven for you. And you know that heavenly inheritance, it is beyond what we can possibly imagine. It is beyond our comprehension. And notice he says it is reserved for you. It is for you. Not an inheritance that some long lost uncle sends. It is an inheritance that God the Father gives to us. As we walk close to God, we can bask in the sunlight of thinking about that heavenly inheritance. And then lastly this morning, another blessing that comes And that is, there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation. As you're living your life, striving in all of those areas to be obedient to God and be faithful to God and walk close to God, and then there are those moments of a weakness, and you just falter and you fall. And you fall into sin. And immediately you recognize, I don't want to be here. And you get yourself up and you dust yourself off. And as you're trying to get yourself back right with God, have you ever thought God is there condemning? God is there condemning me. He is pointing the finger of guilt and accusation because of what you just did. No, he doesn't say that. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who walk according to the Spirit. A closer walk with God. No condemnation as we walk according to the Spirit. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily, walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Are you walking close? Are you walking close to God? Are you striving to walk even closer? Daily, each day? Have you even began that walk? Jesus calls us to begin that walk when he said in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all ye that blessed and all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, he calls us to that blessing. He calls us to start the walk. As we believe in Jesus, as we repent of our sins, as we make the very same confession that Peter made in Matthew chapter 16, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon that confession that we are immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins, we arise to walk in newness of life, and we are walking close to God. It may be as a Christian that you've drifted out, but you realize that your walk with God is not as close as it used to be. And if that is something you can take care of in your own private prayer closet, get into that mode of prayer and confess those things and repent of those things and draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. If you desire brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for you and to assist you, then the invitation is also for you, as together we stand and sing.